How excellent it is to be with God's faithful people. What's your favourite church? Where you went when you were a child? Happy memories. When you go on holiday? Same place every year? Some astonishing cathedral that took your breath away? A little church in a hilltop, on a hilltop or by a lakeside? Over the years I've been in some strange and fascinating churches. The Sistine Chapel in Rome. Oh, busy. The very first church in the world ever, a cave church in Antioch in Turkey. Wonderfully moving. A Greek Orthodox church at midnight for their Easter service. Uplifting. A Catholic church in Dublin for Mass. Mind expanding. An evangelical church in Thessalonica. I don't know what the preacher was saying, but it was all Greek to me. Exotic stuff, fascinating experiences. But I love being here. Here with you. God's faithful people. The psalmist was right. How excellent are the Lord's faithful people. My greatest pleasure is to be with them. I look forward to singing and praying and worshipping here. When I've been away on presbytery work, as I have quite a lot recently, taking services in Paris or Rotterdam or Budapest or Bochum or wherever, it's fine, it's good, it's interesting. But I find myself wondering, what's happening back at the auditoire? How are the people there? I kind of resent having to be away. I look forward very much to coming back. I remember taking one of my children for her birthday treat a few years ago, and we went to the movies to see The Bad News Bears, a film about a team of disadvantaged kids playing baseball. The coach said a great thing to the team. "What I like about you guys," he said, "what I admire about you guys is you keep turning up." That's what God's faithful people do. They keep turning up. Of all the gifts of the Spirit, of all the fruits of the Spirit, this is the one I rate very near the top of the list. You see, David in his poem doesn't say he loves to be with God's rich people or God's people with greatest influence and social standing, not the ones who've made a name for themselves or been a great success in the world terms, or the most talented or the brainiest, but the faithful ones, the ones who keep turning up. Over the centuries and decades, these are the people who have made the life of this church work so well. Those who keep on, when keeping on seems unrewarding and tiresome, and how it eats into my life and my schedule and my wants, and really it isn't convenient and it isn't always attractive. Still, the faithful people can be found serving when the rewards seem a long time coming, if they come at all in their lifetime. And in that sometimes exhausting business, the faithful person sees to it that the first things are put first, that the kingdom of God is paramount, and allows that first task to have its primary say in their life. Faithful is about staying power through the bleak low times of a church community, a family or a friendship. It's easy when it's easy. But when the pressures are on, and there seems like little hope of quick improvement, and when all the others have buzzed off sharpish, the faithful ones are still there, plugging the gaps, holding the line. The faithful people of God are those admirable, infinitely admirable people who are so in love with their Lord that the particulars of the situation are less important than the significance and privilege of the high task of serving his church, come wind, come weather. It's the testing times that give edge to the quality of our belonging and the strength of our commitment. We'd rather not have them if that could be arranged, but if and when they do come, we find out things about the church and about the nature of our loyalty to God that we don't find anywhere else. So today we salute the faithful ones in the past and those in the present who still work week in, week out in undramatic but crucial ways. There's an example of that role in a C.S. Forrester hornblower story, when the ship is entering shallow water under heavy fire. Cannonades and bullets and grapeshot are all around, bodies falling bloody on the deck. And through the firing and the screams of pain of the wounded, the steady voice of the sailor faithfully keeping the measure of the depth of the water. You see, if he forgets his rather boring, seemingly mundane task in all the excitement, then the ship runs aground and they become sitting ducks. Mark 1. Mark Twain. Mark 3. Not as dramatic as his captain, sword in hand, standing tall in bold defiance, but pretty darn important just the same. This church, any church, has its back catalogue of unknown heroes and heroines, whose simple, determined faith and faithfulness brought the church through the hard times and gave it on to us, asking of us only that we be true to that fine tradition of faithfulness and in our times be sure to keep the beacon bright. We all know the names of the famous ones, the Calvins and the Luthers and the Wesleys and the Knoxes, and we honour them. We put their statues on the Reformation wall and plaques with their details on the walls of our churches. But the unsung faithful people are the source of our greatest admiration and delight, and a more realistic role model for us as they struggle through the wind and rain to be at worship, as they serve year in, year out in their particular role, as they see a challenge and rise to it, a job to be done and do it, a call to serve and they answer it. We might not all be able to be great orators, thinkers, writers, givers, but we can all keep turning up. We can all embrace our task and faithfully fulfil our calling. Today, in this celebration of a happy and fruitful ordination to the eldership, today it's a bit like the Oscar ceremony, where the winner holds up the statuette and says, "A lot of different people made this possible. This is for them." So it goes with the church. A lot of people, whose names we will never know, and many whose memory we can recall, made this possible, brought us to now. And in their stories, brought all our church leaders, like Christine and later on Mark, to now, this bit of their journey. Founded this church, shaped its life, and kept the bright light of faith shining clear and strong for all to see. Not by being clever or wealthy or of great social eminence, but by their faithfulness to their Lord, to the gospel, to the service of the church. These are the kinds of qualities we're all challenged to demonstrate. For if we do, the church will always have leaders, always have the resources it needs, always have talents to draw on, always do its job. How excellent are the Lord's faithful people. My greatest pleasure is to be with them.